bring it to their attention, dude.
You better watch who you're talking about. Running your mouth like you know me. You gon' fuck around and chill while the show me. Get called and show me. Why one on one you can't hold me? If your last name was Hayne, only way you word me out is stitch my name on your pants. No resident of France.
And welcome to our breaking news audio of the Como Se Sas podcast. We are back because everything happened since we last talked. Remember, like, long ago when this was a big deal that Alberto El Patron left? No one cares about that now. No, everyone cares about Sombra. Everyone cares about Cybernetico and, like, the 14 other things that have happened in the last 3 weeks. I'm here again with Rob Viper.
Hey, how's it going?
And we are going to talk about some of these things, and then we are going to guess about what's going to happen next, and we're going to be wrong about pretty much everything. So enjoy this listen for however long it lasts. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing okay. It feels like our last podcast was months ago, considering everything that's gone down.
Yeah, it feels... This has been an incredibly busy few months, and it's been a busy year, but like... There's so many things that are going on that I went and I made a list of all the stuff we don't have time to talk about because there's too much stuff going on. Like, we can't talk about the AAA tapings. And it doesn't matter because they just now got up on the YouTube channel. So we can go watch them and find out all the missing Argos match that we really wanted to see. We get to go see that now. It's a big trade.
Great timing.
Perfect timing. We're not talking about, we can't talk about anything CML because it's all the usual stuff in CML except that one guy who left. We had some good hair. We can't talk about anything that happened in Elite, so we don't have any time, and mostly because there's not that much happening unless they actually do that hair match with Voldor and Maximo versus Familia de Tijuana,
right.
Which they should.
Of course.
But, we could talk about the K Viva El Rey tour, except we can't get any results because apparently no one was there last night. That may be why we have no results. But the one thing with that is that they're going, this is the Rey Mysterio tour with a whole bunch of foreigners and a few AAA names that's going on. It's going on all month, but they're having shows this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it kind of dovetails with the other thing that we don't have any time to talk about, which is Lucha Underground. Because some of those guys should be in Lucha Underground, and they're in Mexico this week. And maybe the lineup's getting changed. Or I think you have a theory about what's going on with Lucha Underground that you would like to share.
Am I allowed to share it? I mean, it's just speculation. It's just speculation.
Yeah, it's speculation. So we're safe.
Okay, my speculation is that they're taping things out of order because a lot of the names you'd expect word got around from the first taping. I don't think anything came out from the second taping, but there were names that were on the that weren't on the first taping, so you assume they wouldn't be there for the second taping either, and they might not be there. Like you said, they're booked in Mexico this weekend too.
Yeah,
so,
like Son of Havoc specifically showing up saying, "Oh yeah, I'm going to Mexico this weekend."
Right.
It's kind of an indication that something strange is going on, and maybe they're intermixing episodes. I know that would explain why I was completely confused about the air dates, because if they gave one to one, if they were going around different order because they're not airing in order, that would make sense. And last year, I think they changed their air dates around after they announced them anyways.
Right. I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense to me. And, I mean, that would definitely work to keep spoilers out off the internet, because if you're taping things out of order, even if they get on the internet, people are just going to be confused in the end. Like, why is this happening? So I think it's a good strategy.
Yeah. I have those day two spoilers. I need to tell the internet this. I have the day two spoilers and no one else does because I didn't post them.
You see what happens? You stop coming. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yes, very strange how it's like, it's not like there's a whole bunch of other people who are posting these things. It's one person is posting some stuff that doesn't go to. So, but we're doing a good job of not talking about that. We're not talking about the insane Guadalajara stuff I'm researching for no particular reason, because based on the Twitter feedback, I know how many people care about that. We're not talking about we're definitely not talking about any identities of any new Leo Ninja Turtle after you got the last one fired. I don't know that it happened, but that's a story I want to go with because it's a good story. So,
I don't think I got him fired. Yeah, see, now you're spreading false rumors. I just merely shared the information that everybody knew. I mean, they were chanting his name on one of the Caro Lucha shows, but I'm not saying anything about the new one because I can only wager a guess who he is based on a couple of moves that I've seen, but I don't know for a fact, so I'm not saying anything.
How was that match? Because I have not seen the new Carlucci yet.
I have not seen the full match. I've just seen the highlights. Black Terry Jr., I don't even know if he recorded that one.
Oh.
But Carlucci did announce today an awesome match I'm looking forward to with Mala Hierba against the Lion Brothers and Wasson.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
That's going to be incredible.
Mala Hierba is going everywhere suddenly, which is very cool.
You
in
tell
different
me,
forms.
You tell me, am I crazy? But you remember when RCH was doing the RCH Cup, and every day they would announce a new person in it?
Yes.
They only announced 5 guys, but now it's a 6-person match.
I think you're right. It was 5 guys. Because it was weird because it was 5. But then they announced the main event was going to be Psycho Clown versus Blue Demon. And then last day it said, okay, we'll just throw Dr. Wagner in too.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's like they changed the entire lineup, and now those videos are useless because they had 5 guys, and now I can't even remember who the 6th guy is they added. It's one of the... It's either Belial or Ares. One of them didn't do a video.
Yeah. I think it was Bilal who did not do a video. So, but if you try to spend too much time trying to figure out what indie workers are doing in Mexico, your head explodes. So
yeah.
we can't do too much of that. I think since we spent like 5 minutes talking about stuff we weren't supposed to talk about, we should probably go into one thing that maybe people care about, which is some guy who showed up in Florida to learn how to wrestle. Apparently, his name is Lasombra, although he had a lot longer name that they gave. That was a weird morning.
It was. Now, is he going to be on that? Because I don't watch that show, the one where they do backstage in NXT. Is he going to be on that now?
I would. See, when they did the trailer for the first episode, it felt like they were doing like old footage because they made a point of showing, you know, in the trailer, in the previews for the season, they made a point of showing Bayley and Sasha Banks finding out that they were going to do their Iron Woman match.
Mm-hmm.
But the footage they've used since then, it seemed like they're going in kind of real time. So it's possible to show up. But it's also possibly doesn't. I think they're making up as they go, and they didn't even run an episode this week. So we'll find out.
I'd love to see him do his Ingobernables thing in the class while they're trying to teach things.
Oh, yeah. You know, the other thing with that show, and let's break down more WWE Network programming, is that they brought in the alligator ZZ guy from Tough Enough specifically so they could show him screwing up on everything and making a point about how not everyone can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that they don't show Sombra show. They don't have a whole scene about Sombra adjusting from the Lucha Libre style. So that would make me sad.
Yeah. He should be okay there. I mean, clearly he's ready for it. I don't know about his English. He'd have to put more work into it than our old friend Caristico did.
Yeah.
But he should adapt well there, and he's got people he's worked with there before, so.
He's got people he's worked for. He's got a trainer who knows him, which helps.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure that Dark Angel knows more about him wrestling than anyone else there.
I would suspect, yeah.
So... It's not like when Caruso came in, it's not like WWE was really paying attention to Mexico. And even now, it doesn't really seem like they're paying attention to Mexico. This is just the one guy that they found out about that they weren't like studying LA TV or Plural Sports videos and decided Samuel was good. That they need one guy, and someone told them, and people told them this was the one guy. But they have a better support system now, and I think. And they have more patience to let Sombra work through things. I mean, there's no hurry, even for NXT, for Sombra to be on TV in the next 6 months. He can spend time figuring stuff out, how they want it done, before they rush him out there.
And it was also part of Místico's deal when he came in originally, that he wasn't going to spend time down there, that he was going straight to the main roster. Because I remember he was saying that they were doing those hype videos while he was down in Florida, but he wasn't wrestling.
Right.
He was just hanging out there. They were just they never put him in matches. We could learn things. It was all like just try to practice your English and work out in the ring. And then he went straight to the roster when he did the run-in against Sheamus in his debut. I don't think they're doing that. I think Sombra is going to be headlining some, no, maybe not headlining, but he'll be on some of those NXT specials, I would guess at least until the summer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look how long Finn Balor's been there. And I think Finn Balor fits their mold a lot more. they will take their time with guys and let them be down there for a while, and or let them be down there until whatever spot comes up. It's kind of random because some of the Wyatt family guys, or the newest guy, just got called up when he had only wrestled a couple matches. So it'll be more about them having a role for him and an idea for him, and there's no real obvious spot right now anyways. So they're not going to be in any hurry.
And as Meltzer was saying, they're trying to sign up a lot of names, so they're going to need a guy like him down there if they're going to run those all-star-type shows all over the world.
Yeah, and because even though he has experience in Japan, that's going to help him, it's also a whole bunch of indie dream matches that haven't been done because he's a guy who's not been with – I think he must have faced Devitt in New Japan, but it's not like he's had matches with Kenta or Samoa Joe or any of those other guys.
I was going to ask you, I don't think he faced Devitt.
I feel like they must have run into each other at some point, but I'm not exactly sure, and I want to look it up now and mess something up.
Because in Mexico, they were both Devitt was a technical, so they never would have faced each other.
Causing me to look this up.
I don't think so. I don't think they would have, because on the first Fantastica Mania tour, Devitt didn't work with any of the Lucha. I mean, he worked the trios, I think, and then he worked the tag title match.
I'm wondering, though, if it's like in one of the Best of Super Juniors that maybe they had a match, but they might not have.
It's possible. I'm thinking of a tag league where it was Sombra and Mascara Dorada, but I don't know if Devitt was in that one.
Yeah, that's a question. And it's possible that maybe they met in when they were in the heavyweight tag league too.
Yeah. Well, either way, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him against Devitt at some point, hopefully. I'm very curious to see what I saw that El Martinente, the Twitter, used to be a forum site, but now they're just on Twitter. They were asking people for suggestions on what his name's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put him in the mask, so I think it's going to be some random Hispanic name.
Yeah,
that hopefully is not too good. I kind of wonder about all along about how educated the Mexican wrestlers about the process of NXT. If he's even thought that about what his new name is going to be at this point, or is this something that they're going to be throwing at him? Because obviously for the U.S. indie guys, this is something that they very much concern themselves before they sign.
Right.
In hopes that they don't get stuck with something really stupid.
I wonder if they give him something to do with a nickname that has something to do with the Shadow.
Yeah.
Just I think to play you have off, to play, you know?
Yeah, you want some allusion to it.
Yeah. What do you think about the... Let's look at it from a not WWE point, from a CML point of view. What happens to Ingo Bernabéus?
They stay around forever as long as they can sell those T-shirts. I mean, if they CML was in the process of getting rid of, and you pointed this out in DM, so I'm going to steal your point. If CML was in the process of killing off factions that had no reason to exist, we wouldn't have TGR, we wouldn't have the Invasors, we wouldn't have the Trag. I'm not even sure if we have the Cancer Bros anymore because they barely team, but. I mean, CML just likes things just to linger on and fade away on their own. So I think they're going to stay together. I think artistically they need to find someone to add because it's just a big hole. But I'm not sure if they're going to be in any hurry to do that because I think this is a thing where Rush and Sombra and Mascara themselves were kind of running this whole angle. And they're going to be very particular about who they want to add on to it.
Right, you nailed it, because I see a lot of people on Twitter talking about it as if CMLL created something. CMLL didn't create anything. These guys just started to team regularly and created their own shirts, their own name. CMLL doesn't create much of anything. Any gimmicks you mainly see are, like when it comes to group gimmicks, are just guys who are friends who come up with stuff. Like even Puma and Tiger now, they wear their own gear. Blue Panther Jr. has his own clothing. If any of this stuff catches on, I mean, it's all CMLL created stuff. Shocker came up with the Guapos thing, not CMLL.
And the other thing is that these T-shirts are selling so well.
Right.
That, I mean, this would be the Gambrellos are going to go away at the same time that the Young Bucks are going to stop selling T-shirts. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
For them to give this up, because there's no better thing coming along.
And the thing is, when people talk about if there's going to be new members or not, it's not CMLL who's going to decide there's going to be a new member. It's going to be La Mascara, because he's the one who merchandises this stuff. and makes all the money on the t-shirts and spreads it out and divides it amongst the people in the group. So if someone's coming into the group, he's going to be the one to know about it because he's got to come up with the new designs, and it's going to be someone who's going to be a friend of his, which is why I'm having trouble coming up with who another guy could be that could fit in there.
Yeah, I don't really know who's his friends who would fit in.
Right.
I mean, on the other side, if there's ever a time that Lam Oscar was going to step up as a wrestler in the ring, this would be a great time to do it.
Yeah.
Because there's a big void there, and he could establish himself as not the lackey of Rush, but as a solid number two guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not sure that that's something he's that interested in doing.
But I do think they definitely need a new member, because you can't stay with the three you have now, mainly for the reason that there's got to be some variation to the card. CMLL doesn't keep these three guys booked together. And I just, at least with four, you get a chance to have the group together at least once on a show. If you leave it with three, it's just going to be chaos when all three are on the same show but in different matches.
Yeah, that's what they were doing before they had Marco. And I don't think, it didn't seem like everyone was that thrilled to add Marco when they did, but it worked out for their benefit because they got to do those more combinations. Mm-hmm. And they're just going, it just helps to have the extra manpower when CML is so inconsistent about booking things.
Marco even said on the podcast with Fredo that he prefers being a technico. He wasn't into this whole thing.
Yeah. But he's been really good as a Rudo in this thing.
Yes. I think I like him as a technico, but it's no point complaining about it because it's never going to change. But it'd be nice if CMLL gave some clarity. Like one week you have Lam Oscar and Volador Jr. feuding, the next week they're challenging for the tag team titles.
Yeah.
This is the time where we should get a nice divide here. If they do add a new member, make them one or the other. Don't make them in the middle.
That's the other thing, is that the dynamic with Marco and Mascara is you got two guys who are playing technical a lot, especially when they're away from Rush and Sombra, and you have Rush who kind of doesn't fit that style that you need. If you want them still to be the anti-fan mean group, you need another mean guy in there to replace Sombra, even if it's not a flyer like Sombra.
I have no idea. I saw on the Death Valley board somebody said Tiger and Puma. I don't see it happening.
I think that person just wants to see Tiger and Puma do something. So
maybe they will start doing something, because now tonight, 2 hours after we record this podcast, I guess there's going to be, they're in the third match against the Panther family. Maybe it'll start something.
Maybe. I hope so. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to bring about Sombra is that when we went to Triple Mania, we saw Triple Mania, and we also saw just a random Friday night show that we thought we'd just get in early and see.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be the show where Sombra started feuding with Atlantis because he was leaving the territory in 4 months or 5 months.
Yeah.
So was that show more important than Triple Mania, considering what's happened with AAA since then? Because Mystico Rey was started on Triple Mania, and that's not going anywhere. Alberto Cage really doesn't mean anything now. Cage has a funky new haircut, but that's about it. I don't remember anything else that happened on that show that mattered.
In retrospect, that show just existed in a bubble.
Yeah.
And then the CMLL show had implications that nobody could have even dreamed about. I remember me and you were even making fun of as we were leaving that they did a lame DQ and that they're building to nothing.
Yeah, they just fake out a land of sound review that no one believes.
Right.
That's not going anywhere. And he must have told them a few days before, because that card was changed around a bit, too, if I remember right. Or the card order was changed around. So,
well, at that time, that was when they, just 2 weeks before, they got suspended for the fight in Guadalajara.
Yeah, and he's never going back. He never went back.
Right, so they got taken off all the shows, and then they changed it. They put Mr. Niebla in the main event. Actually, I have the poster on my wall here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they put Mr. Niebla in the main event, and then all of a sudden, 2 days before the show, they changed it. They had Cavernario in there, and it was incredible partners match with Volador Jr. and Sombra teaming.
Yeah. So, I like trying to go back and figure out when things happen, and it feels like that must have been the week where they decide where Sombra gave his notice.
But
that also,
the other question is how many people in CML actually knew, because there are definitely people who didn't know.
There were definitely people who didn't know. There were we were told that New Japan didn't know he was going to lose his mask. They were surprised he was losing his mask, so they probably were not looped in right away. I'm kind of thinking after putting it together that the whole weird Naito coming to Mexico for no particular reason was probably Naito coming to Mexico to say goodbye to his buddy for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But it obviously, the secret, no one, people who were informed, who I asked, were sure they, there were no strong, there was nothing to him going to WWE besides the stuff that with Conan and everything that started after it, but that that was the only source for anything. So whoever knew it kept their secrets pretty well.
Right. I mean, if I can give out my, my theory is that, because when I talked to him the week after he lost his mask in Arena Mexico, and I just flat out asked him, and he said he's going to New Japan for the tag league, and he didn't seem like he was joking or he was serious about it, that that's where he was going to be for the tag league. And I wonder if, so I think he told the top guys in CMLL back when you said, back at the beginning of August, what was going to happen. But only the top, like probably told Paco Alonso and the headlookers. So they were the only ones who knew. And, of course, Atlantis had to be in on it to know that he's going to be taking Sombra's mask, but probably wasn't told why. Mm. And they probably kayfabed a lot of people by saying, oh, Sombra wants the money, stuff like that. And I think he had full intention of going to New Japan for the tag league. And at the same time, he also knew that he could go to, like Dave was reporting, or Dave Meltzer, that he could go to WWE whenever he wanted. It was an open offer for him to go whenever he decided. And I think that once he lost his mask, the New Japan, like you said, New Japan was surprised. The tag league might have fallen through. They might have decided to go in a different direction. And once he knew he wasn't going to New Japan for the tag league, he figured, what's the point in hanging around? He might as well take the WWE offer before he does the final, because probably that tag league was going to be his final tour of New Japan.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that he was going to just start the new year by going to Orlando.
Yeah, the other thing is that I believe it's Trevor the Irish Wrestling Fan is pointing this out, that NXT shuts down in December and for parts of January. So it may be in the thing where he planned to work the tag league, but that meant he wouldn't start NXT till February or something. And he wanted to make sure he was there before the new year in case something changed.
Right. What we know for a fact, though, is that enough people knew to the point where he made sure to get all the matches he wanted in this last fast time period. That's why we had the Rush match out of nowhere and also the Volador Jr. match.
Yeah, he was definitely, and they were with him enough about this farewell that they gave him those matches because they didn't have to do that. They could have just let him be like Dark Angel where he just gets one match at the end and that's it. And he just gets pretty much ignored before then. He had big matches and had a pretty good few months if you look back at it.
And he put everyone over.
Yeah.
Except Shocker.
Poor Shocker.
Yeah.
I think if he lost the Shocker thing, then we would all be very concerned that something was up.
Yeah.
That had been just too far. But the first one he lost to was Ultimo Guerrero. And I think I have to apologize to Mr. Ultimo Guerrero because I was very upset with Mr. Ultimo Guerrero on that night when that happened because that was a ludicrous decision if Sommer was saying.
But you didn't know anything, so you can't blame yourself for that.
Yeah, but maybe I should have given Mr. Ultimo Guerrero more of a benefit of the doubt. And then the other thing is that on the live show they missed it. Ultimo grabbed the rope to make it a screwy finish, but they did catch that. Live, they inserted it in back on TV later on.
Sure.
So it was not as big a deal. I don't think it was the greatest timing, but I understand, seeing as where they were going and they had to get the title off of him and they need Ultimo Guerrero in that tournament, kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was not the best decision, but it was not as horrible decision as I thought that night.
I'm just mad he didn't kiss the ring on Friday.
Yeah, he didn't kiss the ring. He did not get a flower in a glass. He did not get anything. They kind of played it off as if it was a weird angle they were doing that didn't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
which seemed like business as usual.
And now, all eyes turn to Rush.
Yeah, because, I mean, Rush and whoever the next top star is, because the larger problem here is that CML can keep creating people, but CML, without business turning around, could not really hold anybody if WWE comes. Especially if, like Sombra and like Rush right now, they're not going to New Japan and picking up that income. I mean, the difference between CML guys and the AAA guys is some of the AAA guys are at least going to Lucha Underground and getting that extra money and also jumping out to indies and getting that money. The CML guys are getting to work, are able to book themselves out to places if you're Volador Jr. and you can get to California, but they're not getting as many opportunities as the AAA ones, and so they're easier to pluck away.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they're getting the elite bookings too, which are apparently paying okay.
Yeah, that helps, yeah. But who knows how long that's going to last. I have my doubts about how long that's going to last.
Sorry, go ahead.
I know there was a story in The Observer a few weeks ago about Ring of Honor wanting to work with CML, and that seems like maybe that could be their version of Lucha Underground, where not the type of product at all, but giving the guys exposure in the U.S. and getting them a couple extra paydays that may get them more paydays because the indies see them on Ring of Honor and they want to bring them in. Mm-hmm. But then that works back to my original problem of that Sombra got signed because a couple people knew who he was, but it's not like WWE follows CML closely. If CML ever sent guys to Ring of Honor, then WWE would actually know who these people were. Right. Or at least a couple of people would. And they'd keep tabs on these guys, and they'd be more interest in pulling them. I mean, working with Ring of Honor would give these guys more money, but it would also increase the risk of them going away. It's a weird bargain.
It's not like they have guys locked into contracts, so they could lose them at any time.
Right.
I think the only thing that CML has going for them is the fact that WWE is usually, when they're interested in looking for a Hispanic person, they're interested in one Hispanic person. So it's not like they're going to purge the roster like they want to do with like ROH. And also CML has going for them is that we knew Sombra was ready. I mean, WWE had the chance. You pointed out back in 2011 they could have got him.
Yeah.
And they could have had him for years by now, but they didn't. So the other thing is that CML, at least they know they could probably have guys for a couple of years before they get plucked.
And CML is still going to produce guys who are not going to fit. Even as the WWE mold changes,
exactly, yeah.
they're going to have guys who don't fit that mold still, who are still too small, or they're lucky to have a Negro Casas who's too old to go back to the WWE, but still has plenty of value for them. It's just, I don't know what you do with Rush specifically, because he's obviously an ex-guy, and it's obviously very weird that he's not in Fantastic Mania. But
I see a lot of people are reading into that. I still think that he's not on Fantastic Mania, because he's still got underlying issues from the New Japan side. I don't think it has anything to do with he's the next one to go to WWE. I think, if anything, you know, I can't explain it. I don't think that he's going. I don't think WWE is snatching him up too right away, like some people are saying.
I think, he's also not done. I mean, if he was leaving anytime soon, they probably wouldn't have had Rush beat him, or they wouldn't have Sombra lose to him. So I think he's a guy that WWE should be interested, but like to your point is that they don't really take too many Mexican prospects at once. This is probably, okay. Sombra signing is probably really bad news for Magno, who finally made a live show the other day. But it for a short term, I'm sure they'll keep him around so they have another Spanish-speaking person, but long-term, I don't know. I don't know that Magno is going to work out there long-term either, because he's pretty old for coming into a developmental system, but this is a little promising for his future.
I'll tell you what, though, if WWE is following Sombra's social media game, they must be happy, because a lot of people covered his signing. Even the Laguna soccer team sent him a message.
Yes.
All the newspapers were on top of it.
This was... I do not follow the Japanese scene to know how big Kento was signing, but this seems like this is a sports national news story, and that's the kind of good press they want, and probably the good press they needed after having the problems with Alberto before, but those seem like they're clear over too since he's back.
It seems like it was bigger too than when Místico, because when Místico signed, they held a press conference,
yeah.
And I feel like a lot of newspapers... I don't know, I don't remember it being covered as much as Sombra.
I think the difference there, too, is that the Mexican newspapers weren't as far into social media by then, too, at that point.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Anything else you want to say about?
Yeah, I'm looking at my list.
I mean, I'm pretty good. I'm done with the Sombra talk. Now we just wait to see how he gets used in NXT. But I mean, it might not even be a while. They might just have him doing nothing, like for 6 months. Who knows?
Yeah, they might do nothing. I think it'll be interesting next time W comes through Mexico. There'll be at least talk about putting him on those shows, because he would make a difference. But you may want to wait until he's a star, at least an NXT star, before using him again.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about WWE having him for a tryout before. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to tell this story. Those are good stories. About in that same time period, I know a Florida-based wrestling promotion contacted an intermediary who may have contacted me about people who would find helpful in bringing in to be their own Sin Cara. Mm-hmm. And I might have thrown out some names to them, and one of them might have been La Sombra. It was a list of names that got whittled down to two, and one was Sombra, and if I'm remembering right, the other was Aerostar.
Wow.
And I think I had Phoenix and Dark Dragon on that list, but it was just like 6 months after they debuted, so I wasn't sure. They looked really, really good from the debut, but I was not like, they were so new that you don't know how they were going to work out. And so those names were passed along, and do you know who they end up signing?
No, who?
They signed Sangrito, a masked luchador.
Really?
Who was Amazing Red in a mask.
Wow.
Playing a fake Sin Cara. So that's what they decided instead.
Yeah, that sounds like
a typical decision for the theoretical Florida company I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, when you said Florida company, I wasn't even thinking about them, and I just pieced it together when you told me who it was. They're so far off my radar. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now I get it. That's really good.
So, talking about moves, there was another move that completely got wiped off the map as soon as Sombra, because relative star power, but still kind of big news. Guy who's been on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame list.
Has he?
Yeah, he was, and then he lost. He's not going to 10%. No, he's not getting back on there. Cybernetico showed up to in Arena Mexico after a week of lineups and other lineups and then more lineups and then fake outs and then more people. So essentially, Arena Mexico lost Sombra and they got Cybernetico. Is this among the worst trades of all time?
This is definitely amongst the worst trades of all time, but I'll give it to Elite. Every Sunday, or not Sunday night, let's go with Monday morning, I am so excited to see these new lineups. They're bringing so much excitement.
I'm excited also the Sunday afternoon when Apollo or Terry gets the Boxy Lucha and looks at the lineup and sees what the lineup they thought they were going to have like on Wednesday or Thursday. Because it's always wrong, but it always has good info.
This whole never-ending news cycle is all over the past couple of weeks has all been because of All Elite.
Yes. I think the important thing to discover here, to point out here, is that they are completely disorganized. I mean, even compared to AAA, they are disorganized. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to keep things together. I don't know how they're going to get a TV deal when they can't figure out who's wrestling 7 days from now or what feuds they're actually doing. It seems like maybe they don't have the logistical power to do what they're trying to do, and they should spend some money on that instead of other people. The funniest thing about the story was Conan saying that Cybernetico was offered a multi-year deal. And I totally believe Conan, but the idea of anyone involved in this promotion thinking that they're going to have multiple years at this point is kind of like, is kind of a little bit crazy talk. Unless it's like, we're promising you the next 2 months, and then we're also promising you January 2006, and that's your multi-year. Because it's like, you're 3 weeks of promoting shows, and one of those weeks was a complete bomb. How is this working out? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that they're putting the cart before the egg, or the...
Yeah,
what's
the
that
cart
saying?
Before
you know,
the horse.
The cart before the horse. Yeah, that they have big plans in their head for what they intend to do, but I don't think they know that there's got to be a progression up to that point, you're not going to get on TV ads right away and be selling out stadiums of like 20,000 people.
No. This is, I mean, they're dreaming really big, but they are what you call in U.S. or Canada a money mark promoter who actually has a lot of money, and they have no idea what they're doing. And they have people, I mean, Carl Cologne has been around the wrestling business for a decade or so, and other people probably involved who know what they're doing, but they're just kind of all over the place.
And they seem to be doing one thing that's very wrong, and that is taking wrestlers at their word. Because you can never take wrestlers at their word. So if Chessman tells you, yes, I'm coming, that does not mean you should start listing him on posters.
Yeah.
I think they learned that very fast. And I think they learned again this week with Cuervo.
Yeah, well, they're going to learn that a lot of weeks, it seems like. You have to have people say, you can't actually believe that people aren't going to back down or aren't going to go back to their original company and get a better deal, which seems exactly what happened with Chessman. And maybe what be happening with Cuervo too.
But honestly, I think that because of what happened, they might have stumbled into a winning formula here with the whole surprise luchador thing. Because it drew last week, and all they had to do was put Black Warrior in there instead of Cibernetico. And I think that if they keep doing stuff like this, they've got the crowd excited. The crowd might think that every week they're going to get a new top guy. And for at least a short term, it's going to work to draw a crowd.
Yeah, it's a short-term fix. They're going to run out of names pretty quick because there's just not that many good names. But they need something to energize that promotion after struggling early. So it might work, but the other problem is that, I mean, no one seems to like Cybernetico for CML. And the only people who's working with is going to be guys from CML. The Terry Replay comments on CML Informer, where he says that Cybernetico is not shouldn't call himself a luchador because he doesn't know any lucha libre. And terribly was wanting to make sure everyone knew he said that publicly. That doesn't sound like there's a locker room pretty happy to work with Cybernetico.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's just be honest here, okay? This is going to go a lot like the last time Cybernetico left AAA in late 2008. Yeah. He'll have his run on the indie scene, or this time in Elite, for a couple months, but at the end of the day, he'll be back in AAA because that's just a match made in heaven.
Yeah. I have a bullet point here that says, kind of really dumb for Cybernetico.
Yeah, I assume that's what you meant. So.
Yes. It's like he had kind of a job for life that maybe wasn't as exciting as it was 10 years ago, but was still a good position in a company that was pretty stable. Mm-hmm. And he all had the experience of trying to go on his own and seeing how it worked horribly, and he decided to do the same thing again. It's kind of amazing.
People are doomed to repeat their same mistakes as before, especially wrestlers. Yeah. And he'll be welcome back in AAA eventually. Time heals all wounds. And he just, you know, this is a new thing to do. I mean, if it doesn't work out, he'll be okay. So I don't fault him for making the decision. All I can think back to is the last time he left and he started his own Bizarro's promotion.
Yes, the Bizarros.
And they ran a show in Arena Lopez Mateos that drew barely 200 fans, if that. It was like as empty as all those AULL shows weekly. And they aired it on one of those small little TV channels. It was just the saddest thing you've ever seen. And a couple weeks later, he was back in AAA.
And they did the one Bizarros dark match on AAA. It wasn't supposed to be a dark match, but they cut him off TV, and then all his guys never really got used again. Except for that one time Amadeus did a run-in, which was a great moment. This is a guy in a old wig doing a run-in in the match, trying to be a musician. That was a great gimmick.
None of that made any sense.
No, it did not. But I guess the idea is Bizarro, so it doesn't have to make any sense.
Right. And probably...
Okay, so speaking of other things that don't make sense, why is AAA bothering to sue him? Why do they even care if they lose him at this point? They really didn't have any use for him.
We're going to be doing a 3-hour podcast today if we get into things that don't make sense about what AAA has done lately.
Yeah.
Like, why are they catering to Averno's needs when I'm pretty sure I just saw a lineup where he's listed as wrestling with Caristico and Cibernetico on December 8th?
Yeah, I forgot to put that in the lineup, but that's an Arena Quintero lineup. So,
right.
I mean,
that's 4 days after Tierra de Titanes.
Maybe there's something. Maybe people keep falsely falsely advertising him, but when it keeps happening time after time, maybe you should take a message that he's not going to be staying around long, and if they have him under contract, he's going to be gone the day that contract is gone. Yeah. Anyways, it makes no sense to use him in that position.
What do you think? When do you think he's leaving?
I think he works Career of the Titans, and I think he shows up that Sunday in Reno, Mexico.
That's exactly what I think. And you all, but you told me that you think they're getting the titles.
Yes, I think Well, I think they're going to offer them the titles to keep them around. But if Averno gives them the indication he's leaving, then maybe that won't happen. But I think that match was put together with the idea that if we give Chessman and Averno these titles, since they're not going to have the trio titles anymore, so they'll keep them happy. But then you should just give someone else Chessman a new partner, because his old partner is not going to stay.
It's all messed up. Everything that AAA is doing with that whole Guerra de Titanes lineup, I don't understand it. I don't think there's any explanation. It doesn't fit anything. Like we were talking about earlier, that AAA is uploading all their TV to YouTube. We shouldn't even recommend people watching it, because nothing on that TV points towards Guerra de Titanes at all.
No, as a preview, if I write a preview, it has nothing to do with what's on TV. And it's a show impossible preview because there's nothing building up to it. You should watch the TV because some of the TV is good, but the TV is disconnected from everything else. Do you want to tell your theory about what the lineup was originally? Or what you thought what happened with the lineup?
I thought it was just a lineup. There was a lineup at one point. Because you found the lineup. A lot of people stole it from you without credit.
Yes.
You found the lineup in a newspaper, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I just think that it was a lineup that existed at one point, and the newspaper got it from a local promoter or somebody and put it out there without AAA wanting, because AAA hasn't said anything about the official lineup yet. They've just released posters with pictures of people.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure those posters are coming from them. They may be coming from the local promoter, too.
Right.
So that's maybe why names are showing up and then disappearing, is because the local promoter was told one thing that was happening, and then 10 days later he found out that things had changed again.
And then on MLW Radio, when Court was reading the lineup to Conan, first Conan was surprised that the lineup was out already. Yeah. And second, when the matches were going through, he seemed surprised that a couple of the matches and people that were in matches were actually listed. So I'm wondering if this lineup doesn't end up being switched. And I think when the official lineup comes out, a lot of names will be removed and replaced by surprise wrestlers.
Yeah, I could see that. They also like doing surprise wrestlers. I kind of go around to that side, except the thing that makes me think it's a recent lineup is because the Chessman and Averno were added, and they had to make it a recent decision because they weren't going to be – there's no way they would be on that card and not teamed in a trios match or a team with Cybernetico unless that was a recent card after Cybernetico left and after Chessman had been teasing going someplace else. That was obviously something to keep them happy and keep them around. So it had to be something after they were unhappy. But that doesn't mean they can't rip it up and change it again. It does generally feel like, it feels like Chilango Mask, kind of, in a weird way, because there was a situation where they had two people who owned the group, and one person was, they were alternating turns on the lineups. And if you look at the major cards, we're kind of Triple Mania and Heroes of Mortalities look like different lineups being put together by different person, and now we're back to person A, putting back to this lineup.
Right.
And it's like they're taking turns, and it's not really a good idea for good. It kind of works for Chilling and Mask because they're not supposed to be interconnected, but when you're building off TV and you're trying to do a weekly sequential product, it doesn't make sense to have people doing different lineups for different shows.
Well, the theory that I have, and it's not really a theory, I mean, it's basically been set as fact already, is Conan put together Heroes Immortales, and Conan did all the TV between Heroes Immortales and Guerra de Titanes. But then when it comes time to put the lineup together for Guerra de Titanes, and I think Conan alluded to this in a tweet recently, he puts the lineup together, and then you have all the people who politic and go to the office and talk to Marisela and Joaquin and Dorian, and they say, where's our spot on the lineup? And changes need to be made without any thought put into, but TV has been building up something completely different. And that's why you get the Anarquia against Blue Demon Jr., La Parca. And it's like, how does that fit into anything at all?
Right. There's no reason for that to be there. There's no reason for Suicide not to be in that match somehow, because you spent so much time building up that match.
Doug on Australian Suicide, like, it's the simplest thing in the world to put them in a trios match. But if you put Australian Suicide in there, who do you take off the technical side, and who's going to cry about it that he's not on the show?
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel bad for Conan, because Conan's the one who everybody associates as the head booker, and he is the head booker, but at the same time, he's not the owner of the company.
Yeah, he's not the final decision maker, and he can get overruled.
I mean, if you want to make a terrible comparison, so go ahead. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and people are going to laugh at me or whatever, but it's kind of like, you know, Triple H has his idea for how he wants the Divas thing to go in WWE, right?
Right.
So he puts it together, but then if on the last day Vince says, well, I want them to do this sort of storyline where they bring up somebody's death, what's Triple H going to do?
Yeah, then... Right? Yeah, it just gets overruled.
That's
the main difference between the AAA product this year and the Lucha Underground product is that the people, the bookers or the writers in Lucha Underground are doing their storylines, and the Eric Van Wagen is not the guy who's kind of letting them do what they want to do, or at least that seems like from the outside. There's not a big overruling or trying to keep people happy. He's trusting the people who are putting the shows together.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the assumption I'm making from the outside, like I really know. But it's obviously not the situation in AAA where they're worried about keeping these people happy, even though they don't seem to be huge difference makers into what they're doing. Like, if AAA never booked Blue Demon again, this is not really a shot at Blue Demon, but I'm using him as an example, it would not really affect their product one way or the other. He's not made a huge difference since he's come in, and he's not been really a relevant guy.
He's caused more headaches than anything.
Yeah. So.
But clearly somebody likes him. It's not Conan. I mean, if you've talked to Conan before, it's not Conan who likes him. So somebody in that office loves Blue Demon Jr. and caters to his needs and has this idea that he's a big star in the U.S. or something.
Yeah. It's worth knowing, this is a very minor Lucha Underground spoiler, but he was not on those first weekends on either of those days. So I wonder if they've kind of moved on from him too.
Well, if they move off of him, I wonder how fast he moves off of AAA, because All Elite is always looking for a guy like that.
Yeah, and he's a perfect of the, that if you have a lot of money and you want to grab a big name and you don't really care about how he fits in, he's a guy who you go after. And maybe that's why he's on Guerrilla Titans, because they're afraid that if he's not on there, then he'll go someplace else.
And it's curious, you know, because when All Elite did the press conference with Cibernetico, they said that he's their second star. They specifically said that. So their building blocks right now are Caristico and Cibernetico.
Maybe it has to be someone else with a C name to jump. So they want Chessman. They want Cuervo.
Hey, man, I keep telling you, I'm like, do we have any idea when Charlie Manson is getting out of jail?
No, we don't. I need to check into that. I wonder if there's like a jail search, like that trademark search I keep looking at. It would be very helpful right now.
I don't want to start any crazy rumors, but I did see Charlie's name mentioned on a certain Twitter that usually wouldn't be saying that unless they know something. So I just wonder, maybe Cibernetico knows something we don't.
He probably knows many things we don't.
Well, yeah.
Some things I don't never want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think the only other thing I want to talk about Guerrilla Titans is about the exciting title tournament. That was such a goofball thing.
Yeah, I like how they trolled you on Twitter, by the way.
I trolled them. I feel
but
like
they
I wouldn't argue. They responded. Yeah, they responded because they fell for my troll.
Right there, that's the lack of communication, right? I mean, one guy announces a tournament, one guy says no tournament, then it's a singles match, then it's ha-ha, surprise, like, no surprise. You made yourself look stupid.
Yeah, and going back to our previous thing, I mean, it's not like Conan made this up on his own. Dorian Rodan said this was a tournament. So it's like in between the family, they must be overruling each other or something. I don't even know what's going on at this point.
Isn't that just, when was he on that radio show? Less than 10 days ago?
Yes, less than a week from when they made the announcement change the other way.
It's crazy that plans can change that fast.
Yeah. Especially when this, I mean, Ray and Mundo are the biggest stars right now. So whatever they're doing with them is what they're setting up for Triple Mania, as long as they can keep them both around. And to just be wavering back and forth about what you're going to do for your biggest program for next year when you're trying to sell out 20,000 seats is kind of not a great sign.
Here's the problem I see with AAA is that they have this delusion about what their heavyweight title actually means. Because
yes.
Their title does not mean anything right now. I mean, it's very minor compared to most heavyweight titles that exist in other companies. So I don't see, especially now that you're not doing a tournament, I don't see why you just don't do Rey Jr. versus Johnny Mundo, just a match. Forget about the title. Leave the title for Rey to Reyes.
It would mean exactly, they're selling zero extra tickets by putting the title on the line.
Exactly. So I don't, what is this rush? And if you're putting the title on one of those two, you're putting the title on one guy who no-showed a TV taping recently, and another guy who's openly talking about willing to take a WWE lighter schedule.
Yes. And you're also putting on two guys that even if everything's worked out with them and they're fine and they're the centerpiece of the company, they're not going to be working that many singles matches in AAA next year. And if they're going to be – it's not like you're going to get three title defenses out of either of these guys, I think.
Right.
It's not like this title's going to be a big part of their future anyway. So
it's never been a big part of AAA. It's in the office's mind for some reason.
Yes. I think they would really love to be in a situation where it's a big part, but they never put in the work to make this a centerpiece or to defend it frequently enough. It's something that they use as a prop to get to their mass feuds instead of replacing the mass feuds like they wanted to do or replacing the hair feuds.
Right. I don't think the title's ever been as strong. I think the strongest the title's been recently was when it was with Tejano.
Yes, because he was beating people.
In good matches, he was beating people. I think the entire Alberto Del Rio holding it meant nothing.
No.
He was just a fake champion. I mean, he always won by DQ.
And then he would get beat up after the match.
Right.
And that would be because they won this up Cage and they won this up Mundo. And that didn't work out for them too well.
Well, we'll see what they do. But I'm not overly... I'm more excited for Fantastic Mania.
The one question about Career of the Titans is that... what do you think they're going to do with John Cena? Do you think he'll team with Tejano and Phantasma? Do you think he challenges Rey and beats Rey to make sure his title reign doesn't last long like he did before? I mean, there's so many possibilities here. Does he start a feud with Arjunus?
Well, are you giving away the fact that he's the mystery guy on the team?
Yeah, I'm giving that away.
So,
just to sell a few more IPPV buys for them.
That was so weird, right?
That's like, you need to call your local promoter and have a word with him. You know, apparently those weren't the only three names, too, because I just was seeing that Santos Colin this week was complaining about people, which is a real change about Santo, and protecting his trademark, also a big change. But he says those promoters also mentioned his name and said that he was showing up on that card, too. And that is not happening.
See, if you really wanted to be mean, you could have said that WWE felt bad about the whole Alberto thing, and we're going to offer John Cena as like a special present for AAA for stealing their guy. And then at the last second, he said no.
I'm sure that someone along the line thought they could get that to happen, and that's crazy talk. Because it's obviously that WWE cares not a bit about taking Alberto away or what this meant to AAA, and Alberto doesn't seem to care that much more either. So
I think you said it all. You were saying it jokingly, but I think that there was a very serious meaning behind the joke that he didn't post a goodbye message, nothing.
Yeah. No.
He didn't. Once he turned his back, he was gone, never to acknowledge AAA again.
Yeah, it wasn't just because of Sombra, but it was because Sombra was thanking people left and right. Yesterday. But also, I was following Devitt Baylor until Halloween, until he like retreated 50 different people in his costume, and that was the end of him. But he has no problem about saying stuff about New Japan, saying stuff about the Bucks, saying stuff about Carl Anderson. He talks about his friends in other promotions all the time, and it doesn't seem to get him in any trouble at all. So it would take Alberto would get no heat at all for saying something about AAA or apologizing for not being on a show or anything like that. And it's clear that Alberto doesn't care about many things right now. So.
Even Kevin Owens, I think, recently retweeted something about somebody mentioning something about the Young Bucks doing a Kevin Steen show with him that was through High Spots.
Yeah.
And if you can mention something like that, which is actually going to make money and bring, if you mention the Kevin Steen show, WWE fans are going to go to Google and type in, what was the Kevin Steen show? And they'll find out. So if he can do that, how come Alberto can't just go on and say the slightest, like, thank you, AAA, for taking me in at a time this is funny because I fell asleep before we did the podcast while I was fast-forwarding through SmackDown. And on SmackDown, Kevin Owens made a joke when Alberto got in the ring, something about, you know who missed you while you were gone? Nobody. So they're acknowledging that Alberto was gone. Yeah. So why can't he acknowledge on his Twitter where he was?
No, I mean, even if he doesn't, for whatever reason, have, and there's no sign of it, has, but if he had some problem with the AAA office, if he's got any sense or any friends who can tell him to do stuff, he should have thanked the AAA fans for supporting him for the last year and hope they follow him back to WWE, especially since he was going off on, he was like, I'm back with my real fans now. He probably needs to close that loop somehow, but... Alberto is what he is at this point, and it's not. I think maybe, although it's embarrassing, and although they could use him as a draw in the long term, I'm not sure that AAA is going to be that bad off without him around if they move some other guys up.
I think WWE is going to regret that signing sooner rather than later.
If they don't already, because they need to redo the whole thing's just not working.
I think because the whole idea is they're building him up to lose to Cena when Cena comes back, right?
Yeah.
I think once he loses to Cena, there's going to be a dramatic change in how the WWE looks at him. I think he's going to quickly be the forgotten guy.
Yeah, it's not going to go well.
Would it be surprised if he was facing Sombra in NXT?
it wasn't good news for Magno for Simon getting signed, and maybe long-term it's not going to be good news for Alberto.
Yeah. And who doesn't seem to be working well with Hispanic guys based on, I saw that match with Kalisto.
Yeah.
And I don't know if many people saw, but apparently if you watch the Spanish version, you can hear Alberto cursing throughout the entire match. In Spanish.
Yeah. So, that's Alberto.
Yeah.
Everyone just gone crazy.
Yeah.
It's like so far in the past now. Because, you know, it was all 3 weeks ago. It's weird that AAA is still dealing with the situation because it's so long ago, but it seems so long ago. So much stuff has happened. The other big story...
I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Since we're finishing up on AAA, do you see them doing a complete reset to start next year?
I know that's been hinted to me that might happen. That it's going to feel different when they come to March, but they always talk about doing a big reset and big changeover, and it's always small changes.
Remember 2 years ago, everybody was scared that AAA was going to go to a singles match formula and people were going to lose their jobs and everything. I remember something like that.
Yeah. There's always talk about overhauling things, but I mean, it's the same problem. It's the reason why Demon and LaBarca are on this card is that they can't let go of the past, and they don't want to let go of the people who've been there and the people they think are big stars. And a big overhaul means, if not getting rid of those people, de-emphasizing them. So, I mean, I think the frustration you and me and other people have with AAA is that there's a really awesome Lucha Libre product that could be had with some very simple changes. And it doesn't even mean that they have to fit your or my vision of how to do it. If they just let those guys who have good matches go out there uninterrupted, it's so easy for them to have an exciting product. But they don't want to make those changes.
I also think you need to walk a fine line, and I think that some people want too much to stay in the past, and some people want too much to go having foreigners on the shows. And you have to find a happy medium between them, because you can't just pick one of those ways because it's not going to work. You need to find a middle ground, and I don't think the people on top are working together to find the middle ground. I think everybody just wants their way or no way.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the big difference we can draw between the CML and AAA offices right now. Is that as boring CML is, they obviously were working together because they got what they need out of Sombra of his last few months, and got it without causing a big fuss or giving away what was happening. While AAA has kind of looked in complete disarray when they've had people leaving, and they have not got the big matches, and they haven't responded to the departure as well. I mean, we're talking about Alberto being gone for weeks, but it occurs to me that at no point on their TV or on their Twitter or on their Facebook or any place where they've actually acknowledged that Alberto has left the company and there's no Mega Champion. The only place it's come up is on the English language Twitter. And it's just kind of bizarre.
I miss Oscar. Oscar's the MVP this year. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, he's the most valuable person because it's great that we're finally getting 4 weeks of TV at once, but
it's useless.
For promoting their product, for the hardcores, it's great. For me, because if we weren't doing this podcast, I'd actually be watching that Tulpan taping, because that's where I'm up to, so this works out perfect. But for casual fan interest, they have not had a good year, and they don't seem like they don't seem like they understand what's going wrong.
Well, I go back to the same thing I say all the time. If you aren't uploading AAA TV, we haven't seen anything since September.
Yeah.
I mean, today would have been the first October footage we've seen, and it's almost the end of November.
Yeah.
You cannot call yourself a major company these days and not be providing, first of all, without providing live results, and without having your TV somewhere where somebody can see it.
Yeah. Or without having... You can't call yourself a major league company if we're getting a new website on your website since August.
Have they not updated the website?
They have not updated. I'm going to check today because I haven't checked in a while, but they have not updated the website last time I checked.
Because I gave up on it. I don't go back. I assume they were updating the Twitter. Maybe they updated the website, but I guess not.
No, this is August. Bell, 2015 message still at the top of the page. Triple Mania pay-per-view video. iPay-per-view video still there. Less than limited results from less than limited preview of July 18th. Yeah, I haven't even given up on them previewing their TV. That's never going to happen again.
I don't know. I feel like, I know it's not exactly one of your top priorities, even though it should be, but I feel like finding a super fan who's willing to help you with the website and do live results shouldn't be that difficult.
No. I mean, maybe it's just a cultural thing, but that's so easy for like a U.S. group to do, to find someone who will just do that kind of stuff for tickets or for just,
right,
you know.
For access to the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you wanted to talk about Fantastic Menu?
Yeah. I think we both really, really like the lineup that's going over there.
Yes.
Maybe the best group of guys I've sent. I'm trying to think, maybe 2 years ago was pretty good, but there's a lot of good guys in this group.
You know what this reminds me of this year's Fantastic Mania? It reminds me of back when CMLL Japan used to be a thing in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And then in they started with Good Workers, and then eventually the Stars went over, and they had like a tour in late 98 where it was like Fishman, Lismark, Atlantis, and it was the saddest thing because they were just terrible workers. There's no crowds. And then so they changed it in mid-1999. They went on a tour where you had Ultimo Guerrero, Virus, Oriental, Rancor Latino, before he was Averno, and you had all these super Zumbido, these super workers nobody had heard of or that hadn't been exposed. That feels like this year's Fantastic Mania.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's some knowledge of these guys because the Imbrusco de Un Ilo tournament was such a big thing last year, and a lot of the guys who would be unknowns were guys who were in that, but they're still, I don't think everyone knows these guys, and they're going to surprise people when they finally see them.
Yeah, it's you can't find a bad worker in the bunch. It's loaded. I'm trying to put together these dream matches. I mean, we're going to get some, right? We're going to get Dragon Lee Kamaitachi, Titan Cavernario.
Yeah, we definitely should get those. I guess we're getting another Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero, because that's the only thing that makes sense for having both of those guys on that tour. But we could get Boulder and Masquerade Dorada, or we get Boulder and Masquerade Dorada going for the tag team titles would be fun. But I don't know who's going to be champs at that point, but someone who's there would be. There's like any big match they do with these guys, they should have pretty good matches. Even I think like the worst possible matches would be like Misko versus Mephisto, and even then that's like a solidly decent match that crowd's going to like.
Right.
Everything beyond that's going to be pretty good. Can you imagine them doing like a Virus versus Dragon Lee match
I was going to ask you, do you think Miro's still get a singles match?
I hope so. I'm afraid he's going to just be like how Stucker usually is, where he's in the Rusuka, that he's going to be in the opening trios for 9 minutes and then out of there. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll get him with. I mean, the dream would be him with versus Dragon Lee or him versus Guerrero Maya, because both of those things would get people would just get them everyone in the match so over, and the crowd would dig those matches.
I can't wait to see what they come up with. When do they usually do the lineups?
They used to do them in like December, but last year they waited till after Tokyo Dome. So I think it's probably going to be the same situation here.
I'm curious to see how they, because they got to get Masako Dorado on the show, and of course we're going to have New Japan involvement. So I'm curious to see who ends up being used on the Fantastic Mania shows.
Yeah.
But I'm going to resubscribe for New Japan in January just for. I mean, I was going to do it for the Dome show, but when they announced lineup for Fantastic Mania, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I always thought I was going to end up resigning when Dorado did something, because the last time I was subscribed was the Best of Super Juniors, and then he just never did anything.
Never did
so
anything.
So I can go back and go watch some other matches. But
that's when I gave up, too. It's like, he didn't do anything in New Japan that he wouldn't be doing in CMLL, just pointless trios. Yeah.
Just pointless trios. I think he would actually have got somewhere along the line there would have been a really great Masako Dorado versus Ngamnali's match. And it's sad that I'm glad we did get the Dorado Sombra match last year, because obviously that's the last time we're going to see those two guys together for a long time. Yep. And it was the one match they really didn't do because Sombra was a technical for most of that time.
And then if we can't, we'd be remiss messaging Fantastica Mania without pointing out someone's not coming back.
Yeah, someone's not. That's the thing that's going to bug me for that whole show, is that one of those guys. I mean, unless they change their plans again, then they always could. But the story that CML and New Japan have been saying is that one of those guys, that one of the guys will start with New Japan after that tour. And if it's like last year, it'll be just they work the final show, they get a New Japan jacket, and then that's the last we see of them.
I think we'll know before. I think this year it's going to be different because. Either somebody will give a clue or we'll be able to tell based on lineups, because with Masako Dorado, it wouldn't even enter our head that something like that could happen.
Right.
But I think at the time, if we would have looked at lineups and seen that there's no Masako Dorado, and if he had the Twitter presence he does now, if he had that last year, we would have known something was up.
Yeah. But, you know, Samura was able to generally keep his move pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on this Instagram, he has a couple of parties. They said it's their birthday parties, but I kind of wonder if they are like actually farewell parties now. But yeah, who are you thinking it might be who to go to New Japan for a year?
Well, Cavernario just cleaned himself up.
Yeah, that seems suspicious.
That seems very suspicious. Mm. So I mean, I'll go with Cavernario. Like, if I had to choose, I would pick Titan, but.
Yeah.
Dude, the fact that I think that both companies have to agree to it, I think it'll be Cavernario.
That's who I came up with when I wrote the article. I think it's one of those two. I think Dragon Lee is probably the guy who's going to get over, and he's going to be the guy who's going to be brought back for the Best of Super Juniors, especially if they don't just bring Masako Dorado back. They should bring both of them back. But I think, obviously, he's the guy who sets up to have the big year, or the big six shows on Fantastic Mania. But they're going to want someone who they've had experience on their shows before.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound like, based on what we heard on Informer and just basic guess, that this is probably a lineup put together mostly by the New Japan side.
Mm-hmm.
So they're high on all these guys to bring them over. If this is like Dave and Russell in the Hall of Fame, all these guys on the list are possible candidates, because otherwise they wouldn't be here. But there are some guys who are better candidates than other candidates. It'd be kind of weird. It'd kind of be nifty to see like a virus in New Japan all year, wrestling all the juniors and having all these weird matches. But I don't think they would do that. I would be perfectly fine if the Panther went over there and worked as a young boy for a year, because he'd probably get more out of it than wrestling the kind of matches he's generally wrestled this year.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's particularly likely.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I think Guerrero Maya would be fun, but that's what Guerrero Maya needs is like to be for CML have relationships with multiple promotions, because he could be like he could be the Masako Dorado for some other group, but he's just going to be behind so many guys on here. But he'd be the Michinoku Pro Masako Dorado or wherever the token Mexican who's a big star who comes in every so often and is treated like a star, I think he would do well, because his style is so unique that he and Hetrocero would stand out when going against normal Japanese guys, but you don't know if they're going to get as much attention on these shows.
I think Hetrocero will get over.
Yeah.
He's
got so many wacky moves, and if he's allowed to do the fire, I think that alone got him over. I mean, Fugo looked good on his first tour, but it was really the dancing that got him over.
Right.
And Hetrocero has the best entrance outside. And it was Cavernero, I think the look and having the club helped him get over too. So I think that's kind of it's a key that doesn't seem to be focused much on CML, but certainly helps when those guys go over to Japan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too, because it's after Guerrero of the Titans, things are going to slow down. Guerrero of the Titans doesn't look too exciting, and whatever CML is doing, so it looks like it's setting up to a cage match no one really wants to see.
Yeah.
So
looks like we're going to be stuck with Ultimo Guerrero and Thunder until this March.
Yeah, just taking him off the cards. I mean, we're taping this. I'm not sure when you're listening to this. We're taping this right before the CML card tonight, so maybe it'll run something. But if they're doing a December show, they kind of have to make it clear they're doing a December show about now, because we're well into November, and they're not going to do it past the second or third week of December. So this would be the time to start announcing it or announcing a match or something.
I don't think they're doing one.
I think you might be right. I think if we don't hear it tonight, then I think you're probably right.
I think this cage thing is just building up to the Dia de Reyes show in January.
Yes, I think it's a solid possibility, especially since they haven't thrown the second feud in there.
And at the end of the day, I think Super Commando's still losing his mask.
Yeah, I think if he's got the option to lose his mask, then he definitely should lose his mask. I'm surprised he got this much of a push up to a big feud.
I think they're clearing out the bottom of the card. I think we're going to see an actual 2016 class, just like we saw 2014 rookie class.
Yeah.
I think they got people coming in.
Yeah, because Molotov, after he made those two appearances after he lost his mask, but he's gone. Inquisitor, I was taking a big leap when talking about the Pueblo lineup, but if they're going anyplace with the Mexico City versus Pueblo Cybernetico, it definitely should be Inquisitor losing his mask ASAP, because he's going nowhere, and he's a guy who's in danger of being pushed off the cards.
And there are a lot of guys who just aren't appearing anymore. I think Rebel Day's down to one appearance every 3 months.
Yeah.
There are guys that just show up. Apocalypse shows up once every 2 months.
Or Boy Trollo, it seems like he's disappearing too. I think it's also because we're not getting that C3 TV anymore. And so those guys are being relegated to that, and they're being relegated to the early Sunday stuff we don't see anymore either.
And
so,
I am not sad about missing those Tuesday lineups that they've done recently.
No, they've packed it in. Although the Tuesday lineup for next week is so weird, because those are all the guys they would have on a Friday. So I'm not sure if because some of those guys are missing this Friday that are being pushed over, or what's going on. But
you know what I'm expecting next Friday?
The Grand Alternative? Maybe?
Maybe, but also I'm expecting maybe a Torneo Cibernético with all the guys who are building to the cage mask match.
Oh, that would work.
Because that would
too.
Take up 12 bookings right there, 6-on-6 or something like that.
Yeah. And then we get an idea of who's supposed to be in that match, because it seems like it keeps on changing. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the 1 year they did that? They've done this before, where they've started a feud with two people, and then by the time they got the cage match, those two people aren't in the cage?
It sounds like something CML would do.
Yeah.
But I still think at the end of the day, I think they started this feud to do the Panther versus Super Commando, and I think that's how it ends. Maybe the Panther doesn't get the win, but I think Super Commando gets the loss.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know who would get the win, though, but we'll see.
But there could be so many people. I could see a Sphinx the win or something random like
don't
that.
Don't even say that. That would be terrible.
That spinning kick of his is like a dice roll. Sometimes it looks really good when it hits high. Sometimes it hits a guy on his hip. It's so random, and he's not very good at it.
He's so generic. Everything he does is so generic.
I was watching some Metro matches this week, so he's not the most generic person, but he's very generic.
But the big event is coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be the bodybuilding tournament.
Yeah, on YouTube. Am I capturing that if it's on live on YouTube? I don't think I should. I think I have better things to do. But no, I need to capture that, because if they do another tumbling contest, that's always fun. We'll see if Hip Hop Man shows up again.
I want to see who the rookies are, because that's when we find out who's training there.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's half the guys who showed up for the Tumbling last year never debuted, so maybe they all got pushed back, or maybe it was just not a good class.
But in 2013, that was, like, the first time we heard that there was a new Dragon Lee, and all of a sudden he started wrestling at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Sometimes the names that pop up will just surprise us.
Sometimes the names will pop up. Sometimes they're not the names they'll end up using, because I remember the year before the first Dragon Lee started, he was in the bodybuilding contest, I believe it's Dragon Dorada, before they changed his gimmick. So.
And last year they had Imposible, who did good in the contest, but never ended up showing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be good if he showed up this year, but.
Maybe CMLL's year-end show is going to be the All Elite year-end show.
It may be. Maybe All Elite show is going to be bigger, because if they do that double hair match.
It will be, for sure.
Do we have anything else that we're supposed to talk about?
I don't think so. I think, unless you want to talk about T. Diablos Jr. against Scorpio Jr. in a hair match.
That's going to be so not any good.
But you realize that's going to be a big day, right? Because that's the day of the rescheduled AAA Monterey show.
Oh, so that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, they're going head-to-head.
I don't understand why they do that. That didn't seem to work out for anybody.
It just hurts everybody, but whatever.
Yeah, and that's not going to be any good. And what was the other thing I just thought of that I forgot? Oh, yeah, do you have any plans for December? Any shows you're looking forward to?
Not really.
No,
not really. Just keeping it calm until Lucha starts back up in January, and then when? My next trip is when? Dallas for WrestleMania, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I still have to figure out if I'm going to Dallas or not.
You're going to see Pentagon Jr. live, right? This weekend? No, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah. I hope you're going to see them live.
Okay, so I don't want to be critical of anything. I wasn't sure why I never got my ticket for that show. Let's tell this on the air. It's a good story to tell on the air. I found out that they don't mail tickets. You have to go to the place, and then they hand you your ticket, and then you hand the ticket to the ticket person.
Really?
Is that something that indies do, and I'm just dumbly not aware?
The last ones I've been to, you print out the PayPal receipt. That's how I bought the tickets. And you just show them that, and they just... They don't even give you a ticket sometimes. They just rip up your paper and you get entrance.
That works too. Just buying a ticket ahead of time so the ticket's there. So they have to look up your name in the list.
You might not even get a ticket. That's the thing. You might just be on the list.
Yeah.
Like for PWG, you just show up and you tell them your name and then you go in.
That's weird.
Yeah. You think you're going to get to see those guys?
Yeah. I feel better about now since they didn't show up on any other lineups. I mean, you never know with AAA, I feel.
And there's no Lucha Underground?
There's no Lucha Underground that week. Well, there's no Lucha Underground tapings. They seem like they're taping a lot of days that aren't really tapings.
Yeah, what's the deal? My man Aerostar shows up every Thursday and then goes home on Friday.
There just must be some great food on Fridays. Some great catering is getting into. I don't know. It's obvious. This is my other theory with the taping day thing, is that they're taping episodes that are not wrestling episodes somehow, that they are all vignette episodes or something.
Wow, that would be very polarizing.
People would have strong feelings about that one.
Especially in a shortened season.
They do feel, it does seem like they are taping, or this could explain why it's only 24 episodes in front of the people, because maybe it's another 5 or 10 that are not in front of the people.
I actually hope you're right, just because I want to see how the internet would react to that.
They would have, people throwing up their hands, or people saying you can't vote versus a wrestling show, because it's no longer wrestling, it's something else.
You're not on Twitter while we're doing this, right?
I have it open. Something happening?
Did you see what Chris Joseph, the picture he tweeted out?
He tweeted out some ladders. So.
Yeah, so we're going to get some ladder stuff this weekend.
Yeah. Except no one's going to know about for another month or two.
There's like a million ladders in that picture.
Yes. It could really mean anything. It could mean that they're hanging stuff up high and no one's going to climb it. But
that's true. He tweeted out a picture of like battle tanks or something the other day.
Yeah. Yes. He's doing a lot of little spoiler pictures that aren't really spoiling anything because they're all very out of context.
It's because of mass confusion.
Yes. Maybe we need to put this all into one of those Storify things. So then, like, 3 months from now, we can go back and figure out which scene was being taped when. And just put it all together.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other things I need to talk about, but I don't think we have anything else. And we're in an hour, so that feels like a successful mission. Well, I think Fredo and Kurt are probably going to go longer, so we can fit together. We'll go 4 hours. We're not doing any four-hour podcasts. People are crazy who do four. No offense, but you're completely insane. You do 4.5-hour podcasts. Completely insane.
Yeah, I think 3 hours is stretching it, but I'll accept it. But when you go over 3 hours, I start to question what you're doing with your life.
Yeah. I question about maybe there's some fat in the episode, perhaps, that you could have cut out. This is not... But what do I know? This podcast probably sounds terrible, so I probably shouldn't criticize other podcasts.
There's like these WWF people that do like recaps of old shows that go like 8 or 9 hours.
Yes, which doesn't make sense when those shows go 3 hours. But what can you do?
What are you talking about for 8 or 9 hours?
No.
I don't know, man. That's wacky to me. But I can only do an 8 or 9 hour podcast if we're talking about like Super Astros or Max Mini.
Yes. Maybe we can get them to put. Maybe that's the next step that we can get. Since they have Sombra and they have Alberto, they can have the Super Astros back on the network, and people would be happy.
Was it on at one point?
No. No. I mean, put it on to put back on.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised, you know, they could have put on When Worlds Collide when that people started talking about last week, but that's not what they think. I should stop expecting them to do that.
Podcast, I ended by, like, recommending matches to see, but I haven't been watching anything because there's everything either is live now. I mean, your video posts are down to, like, 2 or 3 shows.
Yes. It's almost... I actually had a thought. I think one of these days was complaining about something because I seem to spend a lot of time on Twitter complaining about things lately. But if I have to pay an extra fee to get the channels that give me 52MX and AYM or LES and the Puerto Rico station and whatever other little zeros. And if 52MX is going to be ruined, it's going to be stuff that's already on YouTube. I know there are people who will be disappointed if I didn't put up if I didn't put up the Puerto Rico, and there are plenty of times where the internet feed for IWRG doesn't work and I have to get off the TV, and it works out that I have the TV, but that's not a cheap package, and I'm wondering how much it makes sense to do that instead of spending money on something else at some point. It's not like other people are offering to help me out with this, or that would even really take their money.
Right.
But, I mean, there's shows that don't seem... If they're going all... If CML goes all live and AAA goes all, we can't get on US TV, then it doesn't make a lot of sense just to get for an IWRG who's not been that good of late. I've been watching a lot of IWRG to change the subject quickly because I've been trying to do the catch-up stuff because I want to... My goal is so... Before Lucha Underground comes on the air and before Fantastic Mania comes on, because we'll be having so much Lucha to talk about at that point, to try to get all the 2005 stuff done in 2015 stuff done in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going to back stuff earlier than I normally would. And none of the IWRG stuff is very interesting at all. It's so such a boring promotion this year.
Yeah, you picked some weird stuff to watch. I was going through your list and you picked some matches that I'm like, why is he going back to watch these? These were like nothing matches.
Yeah, I found that out. I was watching the...
Especially the Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles. I wanted to see a good Ninja Turtles match, and I should have just stuck with Carl Lucha like a sane person would.
Yeah.
But I tried to give hope to Atomicos. I watched the Diablos versus Panteras match the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good at all. It's not like a bad match, but it is a 30-plus minute match where they try to do classic title match style, and they make it as boring as possible. And I'm watching it to see the former Dragon Celestial versus Hijo del Pantera to see what Pantera looks like since he's back from Japan, and what Diablo Jr. 1 looks like now that he has a gimmick. And those two barely get to work with each other. It's the fathers who work with the opposing son the whole time, and it makes for a very less exciting match. The kids get to work each other for like a minute in the third fall, and it's the best part of the match. But it's only a minute in like a 35-minute match. It's so disappointing.
It's strange because, you know, the recent lineups, they brought back one of my favorites, Centurion. But they've got him in like the second match.
Yes. They have like
shows in the second match.
Like, yes, that's amazing. It's they moved them up for next week, but I mean, there must be some sort of weird caste system or weird training system or reward system on those shows, because they do not seem to be booked on who's going to produce the shows that would that people are most likely going to want to see. It's this weird situation. And on Wednesdays, that's the case. On the Sundays, it's like, and this is the overall problem with IWRG, but the benefit of Cartilage and Shillong and Mass is that they can train the greatest guys in that system, but they will never put them on top instead of whatever wash-up guy from a big league promotion or the son of somebody of a famous guy will always be ahead of whoever they can train, no matter what. Golden Magic and Kenneth Lupus are the only two guys who are IWR trainees, really, who have regular top spots. And everyone else is kind of stuck again at the third level, and then they have to go somewhere else if they want to do anything. It doesn't really make... It's so different from what a U.S. indie promotion would do, where they would build around the guys because they believe in their own guys and because it sells their training school a lot better. The guys they trained are on top and meaning something. But...
And with the amount of people they draw, I refuse to believe that it's worth it bringing in somebody, like when they bring in Dr. Wagner Jr. for a show or something.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe they can't get that crowd by putting their regular guys on there.
Or Tina Boss Jr. or Solitario.
Yeah.
Or Mascaro Anos Dos Mil and Dos Caras and Hijo de Dos Caras. I think they actually believe Hijo de Dos Caras is good, which is the most interesting part. But it's so weird.
I'm surprised Chip Lane never brought him in while Alberto was still around, because now he's got no chance.
Oh, you know what? He was still on the KVULRA shows.
Is he?
Which just amazed me. I saw him doing press for the Leon show yesterday, and we saw much of that help.
Yeah.
But
we never mentioned, though, that politics are coming up now in All Elite, because, well, we don't have results from last night, but both Ray Horace and Bestia 666 weren't on the show.
Yeah. So, and I wonder what that means. I mean, Ray Horace was tweeting photos of himself at Lucha Underground, but
right. If
he's off those shows, then that may have screwed that whole deal up, which would suck for him.
I don't think he would. If he was in Lucha Underground, I would assume he's not going to screw that up just by taking all the late bookings. But you never know.
You never know. People can be weird about things.
Flamita was still working the independent scene last I checked, but then I also saw he did fill-in duty on a AAA house show.
Yeah, so and he's booked with he's working at Pasadena in a match coming up soon too on an indie show.
And those guys are working with CMLL, so DTU, I mean.
Yeah, DTU, which is that's just a weird concept, because a lot of those guys do not fit in what the DTU fans want to see. And
but that's not their year-end show, is it?
It is. It seems it's the year-end tour. I'm not sure if they're going to add one more show at the end, but there's a bunch of December shows are running, and that seems like the biggest one.
Because they were building to a hardcore match with Ciclope, I think, and Miedo Extremo.
Yeah. But that wouldn't make sense in... maybe they're going back to Olencingo and running another show there, because that's a venue, but I can't see them running in Arena Foxhawn after the CMLL DTU show again that year, so...
And I can't see CMLL guys being on a show where, like, that's the main event, where it's like one of those crazy hardcore matches.
Right. So there's something here that's not making sense. The text is hinting that, well, maybe some DTU guy will impress and go to CMLL. So maybe there's a deal where one of those guys is actually going to CMLL.
Rocky Lobo,
Jurassic Boy, somebody. And that's why this is how this is a story you're telling about that guy going and joining up. But there's some missing piece there.
And we still don't even know if Fireball Flamita, whatever you want to call him, is even going back to Dragon Gate.
Yeah. Well, Jay thought it was under pressure that Jay said that the people there are under pressure he's coming back next year. So, I mean...
Which is different from what AAA seems to be under the impression of.
Yeah, but maybe AAA doesn't know what's going on, because there's some indications
of that.
You know
what? I would believe that.
Yeah.
AAA is not exactly going to win any points for being on the ball.
No. No, they're definitely not.
No. Well, to end it all, I want you to pick one guy in AAA or CMLL who, by the time we do another podcast, will not be in their current company.
Okay, well,
spot.
Averno will not be AAA. I mean, see, the advantage here is I'm the person who controls when we do this podcast, it seems, so I could just wait this out until I'm right.
That's true.
I could pick Dragon Lee, and then we could wait 40 years and do another podcast, and that'd be right.
How about I'll give you mine before you go on a limb.
Okay.
Sexy Star.
Yeah.
I think she will be at All Elite before you know it.
It's worth noting, if I could, same thing about Demon, is that Sexy Star did not appear in front of the crowd at Lucha Underground on either day. So
I'm more confident in my pick.
She may be still locked in the basement someplace with Marty Moff. Marty's definitely posting photos there.
Marty better be there. Marty's my favorite.
Who else?
But that would be my pick. I think she's gone.
The easy pickers are Averno and Cavernario, because one will go to New Japan and one will go back to Elite. But I'm trying to think if there's someone else. I'm predicting that Trollo will not be around, that we'll be missing Trollo.
Bigger name. I want you to cause some controversy with the pick, so somebody on Twitter will say, well, he said this, so he must know something.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
That makes you the complete opposite from everybody on Twitter who seems to know everything before it happens.
This is what's killing about the Sombra story, is that I usually do not bother to bug sources about what's going on with things, because I'm just kind of happy that they're talking to me at all. But on the Sombra thing, I was working actually hard to find out. I desperately wanted someone to just go even off the record and say, yeah, he's going. You can go ahead and report this. And no one would do that, because no one thought he was going.
Right.
And so, I mean, there was definitely, you could presuppose that he was going, but the situation, they was going to WWE, but we're also living in a CML reality where Diablo Roja and Rey Scorpion just kind of quit the promotion for 4 months, and they're in the U.S., and there's no real explanation for it. Mm-hmm. And that Electrico, I don't know about you, but I didn't know that he was in the U.K. until Cassandra started posting photos of them all there together. So,
I just found out right now.
Yeah. So, weird things. It's a weird promotion that doesn't make any sense. And it's like, you can guess at things, but I'd rather remove all other possibilities. And that was tough to do with the Sombra thing. And it's tough to do with any other name specifically being gone from there. But
Didn't Jesse Electrico wrestle in Pueblo?
Yeah, he was a short time. He was like there for a week or something, and he was back.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Cassandra always has someone new from CML. It's a strange situation, but I don't know if other people are busy or if you just need a new person for a new attraction every so often. But
did you see Magnus posting photos on Instagram making fun of Rush?
No. I know He was happy about something on Truro, or about his dream coming true, and I'm not sure what that was. But
yeah, he's maybe making fun of that WWE called Sombra, but they didn't call you Rush. And it's like a Photoshopped image. It's very weird. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm sure it's all in good fun. It's just weird, because usually you don't see CML guys doing that.
Magnus is the best. I enjoy Magnus being around. He's the wild card, and we need some strange people in CML to balance things out. Balance all the people who are like Delta, who just post, you know, aspirational messages every day. Or Guru Maya, who tags me in every photo he takes.
And then says gracias.
Yes, says gracias to everyone. But has not got to grasp it. You need to have the username first.
Yeah.
So then you just send it to one person instead of thanking everybody individual.
There are a lot of luchadors who haven't mastered Twitter as much as Fergal Devitt, who I've officially unfollowed.
Yes.
And I've also unfollowed Guerrero Maya. Don't tell him that, though. Because he did the whole RTing thing, too, a lot that I didn't like.
Yeah. That's tough.
That's one way to get blocked.
There's one certain person who's a journalist who I do turn off his ability to send RTs to me. Because perhaps just treating every compliment you get is not really the best-selling point. It makes you kind of look like you have some sort of self-confidence issue about what you're doing.
And some of those RTs are very, very written very poorly grammatically.
Yes.
And it doesn't make your fan base look like they're exactly on the ball.
So I don't know who's leaving. Can I guess Shocker? I'd be okay with that.
So Shocker's going to Guerra de Titanes?
Yeah, Shocker's going back to AAA because it worked out so well for him last time.
Is he going to Orlando?
Shocker's going to go save all of Japan. That's what he's going to do. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Maybe he'll be on Pop TV soon.
Oh, yes. You don't get Pop TV. You don't get TNA right now in Canada, do you?
We do. We get it on the Fight Network.
Do you think Argos will go back to TNA? Because I know he wants to.
I don't know. Argos is going to be... Maybe that's the most miraculous story of the week that we haven't mentioned, is that Argos was in a 4-star match last Sunday.
I've not seen All Elite yet.
You need to watch
heard
that
match.
That match is really good.
All Elite is my blind spot of stuff. That I just watched the stuff from March the other week, so I'm going to go back. I think I'm too used to watching TV stuff, too, that going and watching the handheld from the second deck is sometimes a little bit... I'm too spoiled to watch that, even though that's probably the way to watch it.
It is. Yeah. I think Argos might be the smartest guy. He might be the smartest guy that nobody knows, because he got his job in AAA by making sure he worked with Semental, because they thought, oh my god, this guy's great.
Yeah, yeah. Argos, I meant to tell a story. Argos is the Tom McGee of AAA.
Say that again?
The Tom McGee of AAA. Meltzer tells a story about how this bodybuilder... Yeah, ruining the story. Yeah, that Tom McGee had this great tryout match, and they thought, oh, he's going to be the next Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And then it took them 2 years to figure out that Bret Hart was a good wrestler. And so AAA sees Argos has this great tryout match, and think, oh, good, we can push him. He's even Mystico's brother, so he'll have some extra popularity. And they push him in matches. He's not any good. And they can't figure out what went on. And it turned out that Sentimental is Bret Hart. But it took him a couple years.
And he's pulling the same trick.
Yes, he's pulling the same trick. So he's taking over. He won a Battle Royal, which is always good. I don't know if Bret almost did that, but then bad things happened. So he's one step ahead of Bret Hart right there.
It's crazy, though, because Argos wasn't awful, but he also wasn't good in that six-man tag last Sunday. But he's in there with all the good. And now they're putting them again. They're having a rematch on Sunday, which is probably going to be great again. Yeah. And I bet you anything, out of those six guys, Argos is going to be working higher than any of them on future shows.
Of course. Of course he will.
And I bet you Arcanis would be with them if he didn't have that Lucha Underground gig going.
Yes, he would. And he's lucky he's stayed sane and not given up that gig, because that's probably the best thing he's going to have.
Yeah. And Mini Murder Clown is still playing Smurfs.
Mini Murder Clown is still playing Smurfs. I saw him on the lineups the other day, so he must still be around someplace.
Well, that's nice.
Anything else? Would he have been the guy that was in main event the Guadalajara show this week? Because what was the deal with them booking two different shows on the Thursday when they're running Thursday shows? That's another AAA makes no sense and not doing things. But I feel like we've just stretched this podcast out a little too long now.
Yeah, I don't know about AAA's whole scheduling thing. Like, we should have known. We should have known that show was going to be canceled. That's on us.
Yeah.
Because if we would have done our research, we would have seen all those shows booked together and realized something's not going to work out.
Yeah, but...
We dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, we're sorry. We should have figured it out. We should have told AAA themselves, and then they would have taken care of it, as they often listen to our comments and complaints.
If they listen to our comments, they might actually realize things.
Yeah.
Hey, AAA, if you're listening, why aren't you putting the unedited... No, that's too much to ask for, I guess, putting unedited matches on YouTube if you can't even update your website.
No, yeah, let's not get crazy.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll do another podcast next month, and probably the Lucha World will be in chaos once again.
Yeah, well, the Lucha World will probably be doing a podcast right now as you hear this. So go check their podcast if you're not ready to listen to that. We'll do one, maybe December, maybe it'll be like the year-end stuff, because there won't be anything going on. Or maybe three more people will jump, and we'll talk about that.
Or maybe when the Fantastic Media lineups come out.
Maybe that's a good idea, too. Do you have anything you need to plug?
Do I have anything I need to plug? No, I don't think I do.
Everyone asks that question. No one really has any good answers. I think you're listening to the podcast of the people. You generally know what they're doing anyways, but maybe not. Who knows?
I got nothing to plug.
I've got nothing. I'm probably going to finish doing those growl horror stuff and probably have like a week of content about them that no one will read or comment about. So look forward to that.
I read it. I just have nothing to say about it.
I think my favorite non-comedy thing is when I posted a thing about where I wasn't sure if I was going to put your Lucha Underground spoilers or not, and no one gave me any feedback. And then I said I wasn't going to on Twitter, and then I suddenly got feedback about it. So I'm doing it all wrong is what I'm learning.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. Don't post spoilers. I want you to stick to this.
We'll see. Maybe I'll just, like, I may just put them on my phone so I can take them to the AWA, the Pentagon show. If anyone annoys me, I can threaten to show them the spoilers and ruin their next 2 months.
It's funny. Dave hasn't spoiled it for anybody yet.
It's early. He had Ronda Rousey to talk about. He had other bigger, much bigger issues. Once the show starts, once that first episode starts, he has like episode 15 spoilers, you guys are all going to be in danger. Just mortal danger.
Well, as usual, I blame this all on Brian Alvarez, like anything else. If Brian just make sure to not, while they're talking about Raw or TNA or whatever, if he doesn't mention Lucha Underground, it won't steer Dave in that direction.
Yeah.
Because that's always how it happens. They're having a discussion about something totally irrelevant, and then Brian will say something that jogs Dave's memory, and he'll go, oh, by the way, did you hear this weekend at Lucha Underground? And then he'll reveal a spoiler. So Brian just needs to be careful, and then when he wants to talk about Lucha Underground, he can say, everybody, spoilers are coming.
Yeah. Or he could just, if it just unintentionally happens, he could tape a 20-second thing before the show starts saying that spoilers come up at this point. But I don't really want to tell anyone also their job. Either you subscribe to them or you don't. And some of us do, and some of us currently don't, so...
I don't. If he's not willing to do timestamps, I don't think he's willing to tape a 20-second intro.
I know. It's sad. It's too much stuff.
Too much stuff to do. And I'm speaking to somebody who doesn't subscribe to the website. So you have no say in the matter.
I have no say in the matter.
You're not giving them any money.
I wasn't going to talk about this, but since this came up, after I unsubscribed, you know what I got from them was saying an email saying that you are now subscribed. Thank you for subscribing to this website. Here's your username info. And I'm like, did they give me a comp because I'm a helpful person on the internet? And no, they didn't. It was just a random email. I tried to plug in my comps up and it didn't do anything. So I have no idea what they're going.
So you don't have a free account?
I do not have a free account. It's weird because it's not like I just got rid of Figure Four as a spite move. Not just a spite move, but I was unsubscribing some other stuff. I'm like ESPN Insider and from a baseball newsletter I get. And with those, I got like, thank you so much for subscribing. We're sorry that you've unsubscribed. Here's a deal to get you back, or can you please think about coming back? With them, I got an email saying I'm still subscribed. So, different strokes for different folks.
See that website that covers the Observer? I forget which one it is. There's like a podcast that covers what the Observer.
Sheet Sandwich.
They're gonna end up listening to this podcast, and you're gonna be the headline story of their new newsletter.
Because
they probably don't realize what you just said because they've never unsubscribed.
Yeah. No one's had the guts to do it. And I should say that I expect that I will be back at some point sooner or later. But I just wanted to see. If I'm going to complain about it, I should probably decide if I want rather than just let it roll over. So I'm sure I'll decide I want it sooner or later.
Dude, I'll catch you up. Some woman got knocked out by some other woman in some MMA fight.
I've seen the gist.
And then, so basically you've seen the entire story. And some old guys are going to be doing MMA soon on some New Year's Eve show.
Okay.
And there was another big story about,
Did anyone say anything in WWE that people might have thoughts about?
Yeah, but it's the women's division. Nobody cares about that anyways.
Okay.
So, you're not missing anything.
That's a sound recap. I think that's really where we need to end it. We probably need to end it about 20 minutes ago, but this is a good part. I need to go grab some food before Clearo Sports start.
So, yeah, we got one hour.
Yeah. So thank you for listening, and give your feedback on Twitter or on the website, or don't give it at all, your choice. And we will talk to you at some point down the road.